Hi, welcome to the Benny Strickler Story. I'm Dave Radlauer. Fresh out of high school in 1935, trumpet player Benny Strickler moved to Los Angeles, California, seeking work in the music business. Traditional jazz trumpet player Chris Tile has studied Strickler's music, and he organized a musical tribute to Benny some two decades ago.
Once he graduated high school in Fayetteville, went directly to L.A., and he was playing at that early age with dance bands in Los Angeles in the 1930s. That was a terrific experience for somebody because, you know, I mean, you were reading every night and you had to play with the section.
Danny Alguire.
He used to come out to L.A. in 35 or 36, whenever it was, when there was nothing going on. With two little kids.
Alguire knew Benny in L.A. and later worked with him in the Bob Wills Band for nearly a year. Chris Tile interviewed Alguire in 1977 with Hal Smith.
Benny just played right. I mean, I don't think he ever knew how to play wrong. Boy, he came to play when he got on the bandstand.
So we've been told how gifted and inspired Strickler was by Danny and by the San Francisco musicians like Bob Helm and Turk Murphy. But seeing Benny only that way would overlook that he was also a tough, hardworking musician.
Benny was funny. Benny loved jazz, boy, and all the bit, but his first thing was his family, boy. So that's why he had played with a bunch of hotel-style band. So he'd have to get his kicks on off nights sitting in, you know.
Alguire came to know Strickler well and was eager to recall and praise him as a man and a musician.
Say, you know, if you don't have a meeting of minds, you won't have a meeting of music. He'd give us lectures, you know. Boy, if you don't think alike, you can't play alike. You have to think alike. You have to have a meeting of minds before you have a meeting in music. You know what I mean?
Within a few years, Strickler was on his way to success. After initially working for whatever hotel orchestra or big band needed a trumpet player, he was soon working in the name bands of Ben Pollock, Joe Venuti, and Wingy Minone. In 1941, Strickler went to work for Bob Wills, who had one of the most successful musical acts in the country, a one-of-a-kind musical organization that fused together country fiddle, electric and steel guitars, jazz horns, and pop music with a killer dance beat. Stay tuned for an exclusive peek backstage and on the road with one of the most intriguing acts of the 1930s and 40s, Bob Wills' Texas Playboys. One of my guests, who's extensively researched Strickler, is Hal Smith.
And that recording of Big Beaver is one thing that opened a lot of eyes and ears all through the Southwest, including Benny Strickler and Danny Alguire.
Well, he told me, he said, I heard that Big Beaver on the record, Christ. He says, that's a beautiful beat. He says, that's where it ought to be. You know, it's a good flat-footed swinging beat. He took the job with Wills because he knew it'd take him back close to Fayetteville and it'd be a steady job. Plus, the fact that he wanted to play with Wills because there was no jazz going on out in L.A. at that time that he could make a living at. So here was a freewheeling band, you know.
When they heard that, they thought, well, this isn't just a hillbilly band. This is a good band. I'd like to play with that band. And they got their chance.
Yeah. Getting a big swinging Western band was something. That was the first time it had ever been tried to my knowledge. Yeah. But I asked him, I said, how in the hell did you join this band? He said that he heard that record, and he says, boy, there's something going on. So somehow or another, he heard Wills was now there out making a picture or something. He knew he'd get to play some stuff in it. So I just walked right up to him, Plaza Hotel. Caught him in the lobby there, and I said, you Bob Wills? He said, yeah. He says, my name's Benny Strickler. I'm from Fayetteville, Arkansas, and I play trumpet. I'm playing your band. Bob says, okay, you're hired. And then we later, someone asked Bob, how come you hired Benny on sight, you know? You didn't hear him playing no. And he says, I don't know. I said, I just looked at him, talked to him, and he says, I just figured he was a good guy and could play.
I know a gal that's mighty sweet. I'm telling you, she's hard to beat. Oh, you pretty woman, with lots of this and plenty of that, a limousine and a 10-room flat. Oh, you pretty woman.
Don't be talking to other boys like
she
that.
She was looking for a sweetheart, and to think she picked on me.
Yeah?
Tried my best to get away, but she wouldn't let me be.
Also, I think Bob had a keen insight on character. He could just read character good. Benny was so honest, man. I mean, you know.
He was very small-town, honest, polite guy. His feet never left the ground. Because he'd say yes, ma'am, and no, ma'am to people, you know.
Benny was always thin, and he never ate right. He just so busy playing it, didn't think about eating. He was there once in a while. Let's get a hamburger or something. A bowl of chili. What else in there?
Bob Wills, Texas Playboys. That sure is a lot of fun. That was from a session just months before Strickler joined. And the vocalist was Wills' very popular steel guitar player, Leon McAuliffe. And we've also been hearing from the superb trumpet soloist, Tubby Lewis, who died suddenly in mid-1941, which could be another reason why Bob was so quick to hire this young trumpet player unheard. This is the Benny Strickler story, and you're hearing Danny Alguire, who knew him well. My guest commentators are musicians Hal Smith and Chris Tile, who knew and interviewed Danny and have for decades worked to preserve the music and memory of Benny Strickler. With Will's band, Benny's job was more than just playing first trumpet and leading the 8-piece horn section, as Chris Tile explains.
They call it the straw boss in a band like that. A lot of times it's the first alto player. And I think Benny just naturally fell into that position of sort of being the straw boss of the band. So, you know, he might have been involved with kicking off tempos. And so, in other words, he would be like the subordinate to Bob Wills as far as, you know, rehearsals and all that kind of stuff.
We used to broadcast every day at noon. At noon, every day, 5 days a week from Tulsa. Because we'd come back in every night, you know, and get up for that noon broadcast every day at noon. Be a little bit everything. I remember one time that I had a big strike. ASCAP wouldn't let any of their tunes be played on the air, so we had to play BMI tunes and all that stuff. So we were playing a lot of jazz tunes, like Jazz Me Blues. We played it, and they'd call it the Tulsa Stomp.
When they rehearsed, it's very possible that Benny was the guy who ran the rehearsals with input from Wills. And he was always trying to encourage the musicians. We need to play together. And then Danny said he would say that thing about, we need to have a meeting of the minds for a meeting of the music, you know. That shows a lot about the kind of experience that he had working in larger groups.
See, the schedule there in Tulsa was, every Thursday and Saturday, we stayed in Tulsa and played at Kane's Academy, Thursday and Saturday night. Every Tuesday night, we drove down to Oklahoma City. It was about 130 miles. Well, it was never too far that we didn't get back in by 5, the latest, or 5:30 maybe. And every day, no matter when we got back in, but we had to be down to Kane's Academy at 12 noon, half-hour broadcast, statewide, sponsored by his own Playboy flyer. But that broadcast was a part of the deal because we always told him where it was going to be that night, you know. Everyone tuned in, you know.
One of the things that Danny emphasized about Benny was the fact that he was always there to play. He brought 110% onto the bandstand every night. He never slacked off. And you know, those guys worked very hard, and there were times when, you know, obviously they didn't feel their best, and Benny would get up and do the job. You know, he figured that was what was required of him.
As I say, when we played some of the smaller towns where there's more country people, you know, I'll be getting more fiddle tunes. He drew crowds that were just unbelievable. We'd go into a town of 3,000 people and they have 2,000 people at the dance. They'd come from miles around. I couldn't believe these crowds. But the deal was, every Thursday and Saturday at Kane's, every Tuesday in Oklahoma City. Monday nights, we alternated. One Monday, we'd play in McAllister or Pawhuska or some of these smaller towns. We'd catch them about once every 2 months. But Monday would be just a different little town somewhere. Wednesdays, the same thing. We'll fill it up with something. And every Friday, we alternated just between two towns. We'd go down to Fort Smith, Arkansas on one Friday, and the next Friday we'd go to Seminole, which were very good dance towns. They can stand it every 2 weeks. And Sunday's off.
So the circuit and schedule that these guys were working gives us a close-up view of the way touring was done by these regional bands of the Southwest and the Midwest, of which Wills was the largest, busiest, and most successful at that time. Yeah, there was the Basie Band, but they'd really moved on to another circuit in the East and weren't really a regional band anymore. But for most musicians, this was a tough life of one-nighters with poor roads and questionable lodging in between, shady event promoters, cancellations, and adversity of all kinds. And of course, it was even worse if you were black. This 1941-42 Texas Playboys has been considered one of Will's very best bands, and Bob frequently mentioned it as his personal favorite. And as you'll learn, Benny took no solos during his one July 1942 session with Wills, but since he appears on only a couple of dozen discs, we're going to listen closely to the few where Benny can be heard playing jazz to good effect, especially since they represent about half the discs where we can hear Strickler at all. Whose Heart Are You Breaking Now from the July 1942 session with Strickler is a good representation of the large orchestra he was wrangling for Wills. Listen for the bouncy swing, the overall unified spirit, good soloing, and excellent tonality in the horn section of four brass and four reeds. One of the delightfully upbeat big band tunes recorded by Bob Wills' Texas Playboys from the July 1942 session with Benny Strickler and Danny Alguire in the brass. This is the Benny Strickler story, an intimate portrait of a gifted and hardworking young musician, and peek into life on stage and on the road with Bob Wills' Texas Playboys. As a stage persona, Bob Wills was an odd concoction. He was not a jazz musician himself, but a country fiddler who figured out what people in Texas and Oklahoma wanted to hear when they danced or listened to radio. He built a formidable jazz, pop, and country dance band around his own eclectic musical taste and showmanship. Bob Wills hollering and talking jive over the music wasn't unique in rural music, but it was new in popular music and helped him build a brand and following. His crazed cowboy aha might not be for everyone, but we instantly know who we're hearing. There's no question he's involved in the music, unlike some other band leaders, and let's face it, we all get a vicarious thrill from his outlandish antics and interjections. And quite frankly, when I first saw actual film footage of Wills, it was something of a shock. It confronted me with the understanding that here was an entertainer from a distant time of vaudeville and medicine shows, carnival barkers, revival meetings, and bare open-air stages where charisma, pluck, and outrageous crowd-pleasing antics carried the day.
Take me back, Tulsa, I'm too young to marry. Take me back, Tulsa, I'm too young to wed thee.
So by the early 1940s, Will's 18-piece outfit could play just about any kind of music and was among the largest dance orchestras touring. Young Benny Strickler had a good job and big responsibilities in one of America's top national musical acts. And like the other guys in the Texas Playboys, Benny didn't seem to mind wearing cowboy duds while he played a little dance music for Bob Wills.
Yeah. Of course, it's funny. Bob was just a country boy and a country fiddle player. But he always wanted this. This is what he was working for. He wanted to get a band that could do anything with him. And I really believe that when Bob got this band together, he was supremely happy. And he loved jazz, loved it. Couldn't play it, but he could sell you.
Oh, look out, Mr. Shamlin.
Twilight,
sang it, Tommy,
fall,
sang it.
Evening shadows find.
In Benny Strickler's slim discography of only about 24 recordings, the Texas Playboys are about a third, even though Benny takes no solos and is only heard in the ensemble. But don't despair, because he can be heard well in the Bobcat-style Dixieland sections of a couple of upcoming items. So like everything to do with Benny, we just have to paint our portrait with the limited musical fragments and details that we have. Plus, Danny's interview is just such a delicious peek into the Wills band. I had to share it with you.
Broken by fate that holds them so far apart. Lonely there she kneels and tells the stars above. In her arms he belongs, and her prayer is a song, her unending song of love.
I just love that arrangement of Maiden's Prayer, sung by Bob Wills' best vocalist, Tommy Duncan, from a session just months before Strickler joined, but nonetheless representative of the bandleader's turn to a full horn section in the early 1940s. This is the Benny Strickler Story on Jazz Rhythm, jumping swing, classic blues, and hot jazz, old and new. I'm Dave Redlauer. Thanks for joining me. At the Jazz Rhythm website, you can find a gallery of photos featuring Benny with the Bob Wills Orchestra, podcast extras, and all kinds of special features at jazzhotbigstep.com, and look for the Benny Strickler page. Still ahead, the theme song Strickler conceived for the Wills Band, and 10 Years, which is the one Bob Wills recording where you can clearly hear Benny's horn leading the band. So after 24-year-old Benny walked up to Bob and asked him for a job, he spent the next 11 months with him, and not only as first trumpet, but he was straw boss. In effect, he was band director in one of the largest, most successful, and highest-earning musical acts then touring the United States.
I've tried to save what was lost, no matter what be the cost, so that we could keep our love alive somehow. But you don't care.
Bob Wills' popularity in the early 1940s is easy to underestimate and misunderstand today. By the time Strickler joined in late 1941, the band was selling millions of records, just beginning to appear in the first of two dozen westerns. And it was smashing attendance records across the Southwest and at major ballrooms up and down the West Coast. The Bob Wills Texas Playboys had an exceptionally wide range of musical styles and repertory, unprecedented to this day. By the early 40s, it was able to present music in several genres: a hot string band with fiddles and steel guitar, or a hot string band augmented with a 6-, 7-, or 8-piece dance orchestra like these records we've been hearing. And Will soon added a Dixieland unit.
Now we're gonna give you all the boys. Let's go, boys. Ah, a little swing. Yes, a little sing. Well, what do you say?
I know that one of us was true, but little girl, it wasn't you, 'cause you know that you've been giving me the star.
Yes, just
that's why I say call it quits before we both lose our wits, so we might as well forget it after all. You know a long time, my dear, I've been waiting, but I'm so sick and tired of your hesitating. So please return all the rings I gave along with other things, 'cause we might as well forget each other now.
Well, we came out to make these recordings in California, July of 42. We played down at Santa Monica at Venice Ballroom, I guess. Either that or the Aragon, one of the other ballrooms down in Santa Monica. You wouldn't believe the crowds. We played 3 nights. It was over a weekend plus a holiday. This tells that it was a set of house record. I think we drew 16,000 people in 3 nights. But Bob, as I say, played it smart. He just knew his people. He had that sixth sense, that knowing what tune to call.
And the Bob Wills Big Band, as a straight-up big band, was very, very good. I mean, you can take their best recordings like Big Beaver and put them up against maybe not the best black bands, but a lot of the really good white bands of the day.
Absolutely. And they outdrew many of those same bands in the Southwest. They outdrew Tommy Dorsey, Benny Goodman, probably Artie Shaw, and even on the West Coast.
I was just going to say, in Oakland, he broke, I think, the Dorsey record.
I think so, and in San Diego as well.
Does it sound like Goodman or Shaw or something? Oh, we had the musicians. We played some Shaw Rain. We played, you know, Frenzy in the beginning. Gee, I remember once we played Softly as in the Morning Sunrise at Shaw Rain's.
No kidding.
Yeah, the key.
I give you a home.
I still have that home.
You promised me true.
I promise you
that you'd never roam.
I just roam when you're gone.
I bought you fine clothes.
I'm still wearing them.
And I bought you wine.
And I'm still drinking.
Now all that I've got
is you got again. Is to wear it mine. Yes, that's beyond.
Billed as America's most versatile dance band and reported to have a book of some 3,600 tunes, its repertory included fiddle breakdowns and country stomps, jazz, pop, and swing standards, polkas, square dances, ballads, blues, and Tin Pan Alley favorites, plus the Western swing originals that fused these elements together in Bob's unique personal style. And that style was best typified in his biggest hit, New San Antonio Rose.
I know, still live in my heart all alone, for that moonlit path by the Alamo, and Rose, my Rose of San Antonio.
This is the Benny Strickler Story on Jazz Rhythm. I'm Dave Radlauer. You're hearing interview clips from Danny Alguire, who was friend and trumpet player with Benny Strickler in the Bob Wills Band for nearly a year and came to know him quite well. Alguire was later well known as trumpet player in the Firehouse Five Jazz Band during the 1950s and 60s. Great thanks to my guest commentators, Chris Tile and Hal Smith, for use of their 1977 interview. Some of the fruits of their worthy efforts preserving the memory and sound of Benny Strickler can be found at the Jazz Rhythm website, Jazz Hot Big Step. That's all one word, jazzhotbigstep.com. Still ahead, Danny tells us why we hear so few solos by Benny on those records, more about his year on the road with Wills, and the Dixieland interludes that featured Ben. Now, besides being a fiddler, Bob Wills was also a singer, though I suspect his popularity was thanks more to his personal appeal than his somewhat plaintive singing voice.
And now I'm at your feet at last. Take my heart and let it live. This is all I have to give. So please believe me when I say, for all the wrongs I've done, I'll pay.
Danny told a vivid story of the night he first heard the Texas Playboys in 1941 and was hired. Knowing little of this band, except that Benny had joined, Alguire made his way to one of their big, regular venues. He'd never seen such a crowd. 2,500 people on a Tuesday night in Oklahoma City. It took him 15 minutes just to make his way up the stairs. Another 15 getting through the crowds to the bandstand.
Huge crowd. The place was jammed.
Bob Wills sure liked to hire musicians. Besides Alguire, he hired a couple of other excellent guys that night. Trumpet player Alex Brashear, who would long be associated with Wills, and the fine clarinet soloist Woody Wood. When tailgate trombonist Neil Dewar was soon added, all the elements were in place for a new component Bob was about to add to his blend, the popular Dixieland swing style of Bob Crosby's Bobcats. And there are surprising connections between these bands. Bob Crosby, of course, was the brother of famous crooner Bing and a successful singer slash band leader on his own. The Crosby innovation was fusing a swing beat with Dixieland horns in a big band. Jazz tunes were performed by a subunit, the Bobcats. It was trumpet, trombone, and clarinet, staged front and center, backed by a full swing orchestra. The resulting hybrid was variously called Big Band, Dixieland Jazz, or Dixieland Swing. And there are a surprising number of connections and musical affinities between these bands. The Crosby Group had its origins in the former Ben Pollock Orchestra, and several Texas Playboys, including Strickler, had worked for Ben Pollock. In the early 40s, during Strickler's tenure, the music press spoke with approval of similarities between the two, specifically the Wills' Dixieland unit. And Playboy drummer Bob Fitzgerald's two-beat tendencies were favorably compared to Crosby's Ray Baduke, one of the all-time greats of jazz drums.
Apparently, the Wills musicians really liked the Bob Crosby band. I mean, you can certainly hear the similarities.
Crosby's Missouri-born first trumpeter, Yank Lawson, was yet another Pollock alumnus who also shared a Southwestern jazz trumpet style with Benny Strickler.
He liked Yank Lawson, for instance, who was a very economical kind of player, but he played with a real direct feel. I know those guys really loved the Bob Crosby Bobcat band.
But boy, some of these things we played, you'd never know it was Bob Wills' band. Because we used to play da-da-da. We had a lot of deals where Benny would go down front, you know, Benny and Woody Woods and the trombone player, and just play like Jasmine Blues or some jazz tune, just a Dixieland. Bob liked that. He drove one of those in it or something. But the three horns would come down front.
the Wills musicians really liked the Bob Crosby Band. I mean, you can certainly hear the similarities when they play, but they listened to the band and went to hear it in person. The whole orchestra and the Bobcats had a great influence on the Bob Wills Big Band. A little closer to the 10 years type of performance is When It's Honeysuckle Time in the Valley.
Oh yeah, I hadn't heard that one before. You sent me that one.
Right, and that's got another Dixieland ensemble that's very much like the Bob Crosby Bobcats.
Listen for the bouncy swing of this unissued track and Benny's decisive lead in the Bobcat style Dixieland interlude near the middle. It was trombonist Bill Barden, who was with Benny at the Dawn Club in San Francisco, who pointed out to me the bouncy swing that Strickler brought to a band, and I think it's particularly evident here.
Honeysuckle time in the valley, Sally, I'll be coming back to you. When it's honeysuckle time in the valley, Sally, we'll be happy neath the sky so blue. With me as the bridegroom and you as the bride, you'll make a pretty picture standing there by my side.
Yes, sir.
When it's honeysuckle time in the valley, Sally, I'll be coming back to you. Small cabin that we'll call our own. Someday there'll be another there to brighten our home.
Not neighbors.
When it's honeysuckle time in the valley, Sally, I'll be coming back to you.
Yes,
Bob Wills, Texas Playboys, Large Swing Jazz Orchestra in 1942, getting that bounce out of the band that Benny really liked. Benny Strickler was the first trumpet and heard in the brief Dixieland section. And we'll hear more of that sound just ahead and more behind-the-scenes views of the Bob Wills, Texas Playboys.